Ladies and gentlemen, please shut off your phones and your pagers. Today we're talking about caller ID. There are three types of caller ID. There's type 1 caller ID, which is your standard caller ID when someone calls your line directly, and between the first and the second ring, the data gets sent. Then there's type 2 caller ID, which is call waiting ID. Call waiting ID is when you're on the phone and you have call waiting service from the phone company, and someone calls you and the ID shows up on the screen and you can switch over or you could just ignore the call. Then there's type 3 caller ID. Type 3 caller ID is not used as much anymore. It was popular for a little while. It's called ADSI, Analog Display Services, and it was used by places like Citibank, UPS, and basically they used it for order processing and stuff like that, because type 3 caller ID is a two-way communication using the Bell 202 modem protocol. The type 1 and type 2 are also, they also utilize the Bell 202 modem, but they're not two-way communications, and if the communication doesn't go through correctly, there is no way for it to correct itself. It does have minor error detection, so you could see if it was valid data that occurred or not. With type 1, there's no acknowledgement to the phone company whatsoever that the data was received. With type 2 caller ID, there is a DTMF touch tone, which is touch tone, the letter D, which is not a standard tone that shows up on your caller, on your phone keypad, but it is one of the phone company's standard touch tones. Type 3 acknowledges with the touch tone letter A instead of touch tone D. Basically, type 3 is also referred to as call waiting deluxe, and like I said, with type 1 and type 2, there are no error corrections. If there's an error, it just displays error, or you get garbage on your screen, but most usually you'll get error if they comply to the protocol when they built the caller ID box. Bell 202 protocol is a 1200 baud signal at 1200 bits per second. It is not the same as Bell 212, which is what usually your modems, if you buy a modem that's 1200 baud in the store or a modem that is capable of going down to 1200 baud, it's not the same protocol. It won't work for caller ID at all. The protocol is binary 1 is equal to 1200 hertz and binary 0 is equal to 2200 hertz. And each bit time, the time that it takes for each bit is 0.833 milliseconds long. And it's analog phase coherent FSK. And basically what that means is the phase coherent part and everything. Basically when one of the sine curves ends, the next one continues from that point. Now, one sine curve of 1200 hertz happens to be exactly one cycle of 1200 hertz is one cycle for 0.833 milliseconds, but 2200 hertz is more than one cycle but less than two cycles. It's actually 1.833 milliseconds long. Not milliseconds, 1.833 cycles long is 0.833 milliseconds of 2200 hertz. Pretty much when I went about trying to write a program to use the sound card to generate caller ID, that was pretty much the difficulty. Trying to get it to accurately finish one cycle of a sine curve and continue with the next one where it left off and build the entire wave. I couldn't go about it by just generating one specific audio frequency and then switching to the next one, because the sound card can't handle it for just 0.833 milliseconds. It won't work. One second is about as accurate as you can get. Unless you build the entire wave first, you have to build an entire wave file and then you can play the entire WAV file, and that would be accurate. I have not built the sound card version yet. I built one that uses a Bell 202 modem that I bought it from a store that they basically sell it for telemetry. They still sell it today. They manufacture them new. They're used for telemetry, which is like over the radio, they'll send the data to everybody to communicate between computers. The other software I was trying to write with the sound card, that's not done yet. However, two other people have done it. First, which you guys may have heard of, was Saab Software Orange Box. Software Orange Box, at first when it was released, it did not work properly. And I sent them a bunch of emails telling them what was wrong. And after they received the emails, they sent me some emails back. And eventually when they found out we were doing this panel at H2K2, they decided to fix it. So now Software Orange Box, the newest version, actually does work. However, instead of being freeware like the previous versions, this one is now shareware, and you have to, depending on who you are, is the type of licensing that you have to pay for. And the feature that you're missing is that you can't save the WAV file now. Now you can just play it directly, and the saving feature is only for the people that pay for the registered version. Then there is, for those of you who would rather not have to pay for it, there is a alternative. There is a web page now on the internet, and there's a guy named Spoonum, and he wrote his own version using Perl, and it's open source, and you could download it if you want and run it on your own computers, or if you want, you can just run it off his web CGI interface. You fill in the form, you hit enter, and then it just generates the WAV file, and there's a link there for you to download it, all for free. I'll give you the link later. And all for free. So, in the meantime, I realized how difficult, after attempting to write the sound card version, I realized how difficult it was to attempt that. And for Spoonum to have done it so quickly in such little time is quite an accomplishment. It's pretty cool. Took him, what, like 4 hours?
Yeah.
4 hours. And I don't know, Saab, it's been many revisions, many complaints, but at least it works. Other than that, the Type 2 caller ID, Type 1 caller ID, the way the protocol is that it sends
Channel seizure,
which is ASCII 1. It's the binary bit. It's the mark signal. It sends it for
70 milliseconds.
So. Actually, 80. About 80 milliseconds. It sends the mark signal, which is a continuous. Ones, which happens to be 1200 hertz, so that's simple enough to generate 1200 hertz for that duration, is no big deal. And there's no start or stop bits for the channel seizure, it's just continuous ones, and that's it. The Before that, there are 30 ASCII's that get sent, which is equal to 55 hex, which is alternate. If you look at it in binary, it's 30 ASCII's. The U is in binary. It's alternating zeros and ones, starting with a zero at the beginning of the bit and ending with a one. And that part of it does have start and stop bits to it. Then after that point, it goes on to the mark signal for about 80 milliseconds, and then it goes on to the data. The
MDMF.
Is MDMF, which is there's two types of message types. There was the original one, which was SMDMF, single data message format, SDMF, and.
Yeah.
That one would not send the name. Then it was MDMF, multi-data message format, and that sends the name, number, and they both send date and time with each caller ID. So most boxes will set the date and time to whatever caller ID data that was sent to them. some have a facility to have it set to your own date and time that you want, and it just ignores that. Other than that, the call waiting ID, it has something called a SAS, which is, it stands for Subscriber Alert Signal.
That's just the call waiting tone.
What?
That's just the call waiting tone.
Yeah, that's the same thing as the standard call waiting tone that you would hear, whether you had call waiting ID or not. If you have call waiting, that's just the standard tone you hear. That's to it's Subscriber Alert Signal. It's supposed to inform the subscriber that they have another call. After that is the CAS, which stands for Customer Premise Equipment Alert Signal. And basically what the CAS is it's two frequencies, and it tells the caller ID box that I have data coming up, so listen up. The CAS tone is two frequencies. It's actually a dual-tone, multi-frequency tone, but it's not a standard DTMF frequency from like the keypad or anything. It's the combination of frequencies is 2,130 hertz and 2,750 hertz, and the duration is 80 milliseconds long of that. And the SAS frequency, which comes before that, is 440 hertz, and it lasts for 300 milliseconds long. After that is a touch tone acknowledgement from the call waiting box. After, basically, for the call waiting box to decode call waiting, it really couldn't care less if there was a CAS tone. If there was a SAS tone, it couldn't care less. It only cares if there was a CAS tone. When it hears the CAS tone, it sends an acknowledgement back to the phone company, and depending whether it's type 2 caller ID or type 3 caller ID is the tone it sends. Type 2 is DTMF letter D, which is the frequency is 941 hertz and 1,633 hertz. And type 3 is the letter DTMF A, and that's 697 hertz and 1,633 hertz. After the acknowledgement tone, there's silence, and then the FSK begins after that. So with the FSK, for caller ID and call waiting ID is different in the beginning. There is no channel seizure because it's already listening and everything. And pretty much it just goes into a mark signal, and then it goes into the data. There are different types of messages that can be sent, and that has to do with assignment to it. It's in the beginning of the data. It tells it what kind of data is coming up. For caller ID, regular caller ID, it occurs between the first and second ring, and it can't go any longer, and there's time before and after the caller ID where it has to be totally silent for it to adhere to the protocol. There's something called talk-off that can occur with the phones and call waiting ID boxes and stuff like that. If someone's talking and their voice happens to reach a certain frequency, the box might mistakenly think that it just heard a CAS tone, and it's going to sit there, and it mutes the phone. So now the person's just sitting there, and it's silent. It's totally muted. But because of that, the caller ID boxes have something called, they have a time limit, a timeout limit. If no data was heard in 501 milliseconds about, then it just unmutes it and resumes to what it was at. Let's see.
Show them like the software and everything.
All right, now I'm going to demonstrate to you Saab. I wanted to demonstrate the free one to you, but unfortunately we don't have internet access. You're not getting it, right?
Yeah.
We don't have internet access, and we're not getting that,
no,
but I will give you
we
the...
We might be getting it right now.
Okay, we might be getting it. In any case, either way, I'll be giving the URL so you can check it out at home and use it whenever you want. But in the meantime, the shareware version, which does work now, I will show that to you and demonstrate it to you.
All right. Let's call this one first. Dialed wrong. This phone's not ringing. All this piece. All right.
Put the
batteries
in. I got a hammer.
Hey, your phone's not ringing, man. It's not ringing. It's ringing on this side.
Let me roll
it. Dial 958 and find out what that number is. Is it 3179? There we go. Alright, pick up the phone. Alright, let's get the audio. Yeah! There, you got it working, man. You can't type very well, but...
No, actually, I do type fine. I guess there is another error in the program.
Yeah, that's software orange box for you, so...
See that?
Yeah.
How did you say what it did?
Yes, it generates the caller ID signal that the phone company would... that the phone company would regularly generate. And then you see it right there on the display.
You can
that's
send.
You didn't even put call waiting on that one, man.
Oh, that's cool. Dude, so the box is new, though. Sorry, what? Type 2 is call waiting ID. This is not type 3 caller ID.
Did you insert it in between the rings?
No, this is type 2, which is call waiting ID. So it can be any time during the call. All that happens is it sends the subscriber alert signal, which is. It's not necessary for the call ID purposes. It's just the same thing you have when you have call waiting at all, whether you have caller ID or not. Then comes the customer premise equipment alert signal. Those two frequencies there, that tells the box to that there's some data coming up. And then the box acknowledges it with a touch tone. And then after that touch tone, there's a short period of silence, and then the data goes on, and that's the data you see. The date, the time, the name, the number, all that goes over. The date and time always go over. Obviously, the name and number don't necessarily have to go over. You can also have a private number. Oh, you're not on?
Number again, yeah.
Well... Star 69 is just it. See, you're not telling the phone company that this is the number that called. You're telling the other box. So if you do star 69, it's just gonna get the last call back. It has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I assume you have the sound card wired right into the phone line. How tall is that? How tall are the line lights? Is that an off-the-shelf wiring?
Okay, here's the thing. You cannot hook up the phone. You don't want to hook it up directly to the phone line because you will fry your equipment. What you want to do is you want to use an interface. Saab has an interface that's in the help file. I didn't happen to use that interface. I built mine long before Saab had an interface there. I got mine from, I believe it was out of Popular Electronics magazine. I saw an article there, and I tried that out. It worked great.
Try playing the call. Obvious question.
Okay, what if somebody goes to their box and hits the arrow to the previous message? They'll see the real one, I guess.
If what? Sorry?
If somebody goes to their box and hits the previous message button, they're going to see the real message, right?
Yes. Previous, yeah. But there's something that some people do is they'll try and bounce, they'll keep sending messages and try and overflow the buffer, so there's not going to be the original one in there anymore.
If you off the root before you do it, it'll show all the zeros.
That's where we go into AMF.
That's what he's going to discuss.
I haven't spoke yet, you know.
Sorry. I don't hear you, sorry. Okay, here's the thing. Caller ID has to be between the first and second ring. So what that means to you is that unless you're clipping directly to someone's phone line, you cannot spoof caller ID type 1, except there are some older boxes that use a Motorola IC chip, and this chip is known to have a flaw, and you can send it all you want if it's configured in a certain way. Well, basically, it depends. With the Motorola, you can't do it except under two conditions. Either with the Motorola chip, then it doesn't matter. You could be in the middle of a phone call and send it. But that's a flaw in the chip. That's not a standard thing. It's not supposed to be that way.
Tell them you have to be physically in the box.
And they have caller ID, they're going to get your number first, yes. And then you're going to send the proof number.
Correct. Yeah.
Correct.
So what's this interface you have?
It's an audio interface that it isolates the phone line from the audio equipment. So, well, there is a transformer in there. What it does is it protects the phone line from my equipment, protects my equipment from the phone line. Because if the phone rings, there's high voltages there, that'll fry the equipment as well. It consists of one transformer, one capacitor, and two resistors. And basically, the design in the magazine called for a switch. I decided not to use a switch. I just wired it two separate wires and labeled each one what they are. And I find that to be much better anyway. But the actual component values, unfortunately, I didn't bring the values with me, so I don't know what they are offhand.
What am I going to talk about in 3 minutes?
We're actually going to extend this to 3:30, so...
There's another thing you can do to test call waiting ID. If you don't have a phone line handy and you just want to test call waiting ID, you can simply build a very cheap, easy-to-build phone line interface. What it consists of is a 9-volt battery, and it could be one resistor. I chose to use two just because the availability of them. Normally, you could use one 300-ohm resistor, and you would wire it in series. And I chose to use... Instead, I chose two 150-ohm resistors and wired it in series on either side of the battery. And basically, the wiring is that the red wire is the one where you're going to have the resistor on it, and the green wire is going to connect directly to the other green wire. I used a duplex jack so that I could wire it easily. And on the top one, I could plug in one thing, and the bottom, I could plug in another. Okay, and this will only work with call waiting ID. So here's Lucky on A&I. All
right. Well, as you know, like he's already said, you can't actually spoof the number when you're placing the call. Sure, that's what you all want to see, right? All right. Well, this is I'm going to be talking about how you can spoof the actual number you're calling from when you place a phone call. First, you need to know what automatic number identification is. It's ANI. Basically, it was developed by the phone companies long before caller ID was. It was originally used for billing purposes, and whenever you place a call, you can't block it. The switch always transmits what number you're calling to the receiving switch that you're calling from on the phone company. So, you know, when you call 911, they're going to have your phone number, and it's got a database at 911 that reverses it to your address. So that's how they have your address and all that information. And ANI was made available to toll-free, like 800 numbers, basically because when you call a toll-free number, it's free to you, not to the 800 number. And based on location, they build a 800 number for where you're calling from. Let's see. They recently made different changes to ANI. It used to be that it just sent your phone number. Now they send two digits along with it that say what type of phone it is.
Prison, hotel.
Yeah, like a prison, a hotel, a payphone. Basically, you can cause an ANI fail, which is you call your local operator, you have her divert to an 800 number, you tell her, you call the local op, you say, I want to dial this 800 number, she calls it. Instead of your number showing up, it'll just show your area code. Now, because this is used for billing purposes, you could basically have your operator dial an 800 number for a major phone company. The phone company I'm talking about today is Telest in Canada. All right, could you give me a little more? I mean, I have to demonstrate this, man. All right. And Telest in Canada, if you opt divert to them, they'll ask what number you're calling from. You can give them any phone number you want, and then you basically tell them, I want to place a call to this number, and you can, depending on what billing you're using, you can say collect or whatever. When they call the called party, it'll show the false phone number that you gave Telest, and you can also social engineer them. You don't have to call collect. You can social engineer them. Say you're a technician, and you need to place a test call to this phone number. It'll call the number direct. The spoofed caller ID will show up. Now I only got 2 minutes, but I'm gonna try and make this quick. I'm gonna cause a quick anti-fail to Telest. I'm gonna have them call this phone number here, and it should show the call. It should show the spoofed number that I say I'm calling from. It's going to be collect, obviously. Wouldn't want to do any toll fraud, you know.
Yeah, illegal.
Oh, I have speakerphone?
AT&T.
Can I help you?
Hi, this is the Telest technician. I'm calling from 909-661-2600.
Okay.
Yeah, I need you to place a test. I need you to place a collect call to 212-279-3179.
Okay.
Wait, nothing.
Well, yeah, no, there's a
block
on that.
There is?
Yeah.
Could you just place a quick test call for me then? Just call it direct.
Okay, hold on. Your
call did not go through.
Operator.
That was 212-279-3179.
That's correct. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, operator. I gave you the wrong number. Can you try a collect call to this number?
Sure.
Yeah, it's 212-279-7179.
7179, okay. No?
No, I'm sorry. 717.
Oh, did not go
through. Operator?
Please try your call.
7178.
Hold on. 212-279.
7178. Okay.
No good.
Could you try 212-736-5000?
No, I can only try three numbers. You're going to have to call back in, please.
I think what the problem is that Telus cannot call in to 212. I'm going to try this real quick test call to Hotel Pennsylvania. If that doesn't work, I'm sorry. You know, it does work. I could call my cell phone, but I don't want to give that number out.
You can trust us.
Works the 718 works.
We need a phone. If someone wants to give us a cell phone number.
Thank you for using AT&T.
Come on, operator. Hello? Dude, how do you hang up your phone, man?
You can release it from the speakerphone, far less.
Yeah, I'm calling from 909-661-2600. 212-736-5000. It's a test call. I'm a Telus technician. There's no billing. This is elite. Well, if you hold on a second, I can get this. It's just... And how come the caller ID was not showing up when this phone was ringing? Is it? I gotta use this one. I will get this done, I promise you guys. Come on. I don't know. It was. Yeah, I'm calling from 909-661-2600. Hello? Yeah, could you please place a test call to 212-279-7178. Yeah, 7178. And this is a Telus technician. I just need to place a test call. No one's going to answer. Okay. Come on.
Yeah! Who are you? Yeah! I'm not in California now, am I? And I placed it from this phone. I told you guys it was worth the wait. I just had to social engineer some operators to get it right. That was done through an operator, direct dialed. There was no computer use. There was no computer used at all. Just, I told the operator I was calling from 661-2600, told her to place a test call to this number. It rang. That's what phone number shows up when I place the call. Actually, because I didn't have time to explain this, I used 1010-2880 which does an anti-fail, not the local op. The local
Thanks,
op
guys.
Would also work, too.
Yeah, give a URL, and these guys, you can set up shop in Madison if you like and talk more about this. Okay?
The URL that you guys wanted is http://lab.digital.net/caller-id.html. If anyone didn't get that, you could ask me after.
Did you bring the towel?
No. Should I bring it?
Yeah, it would be good. I'll get it. No, I'll get it. You stay here and set up. I'll bring it up.